Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week you will learn the secrets to running a business without the stress. Here is your host, Angela Council.
Welcome to this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business, where every week we learn the secrets to being in business and living the great life that you want without all of the stress. My name is Angela Council and I am a stress and lifestyle expert. And this week I'm joined by someone who's very special. I've actually had her on my podcast in the past and she's also worked with me in a few other things that I've done. Her name is Kerry Norley and Kerry's been on a bit of a journey, particularly the last couple of years. Last time I spoke to her, we were talking about numerology and feng shui, and she still does all that, but she does so much more now. She's really into helping women and people and women rise up and really utilize the energy that they've got, the energy around them, the energy of the people around them, so that they can be the best versions of themselves. So I actually want to learn a little bit more about what Kerry's done, because I know that she's been learning so many different things and she's bringing this into her business and she's helping other women in their businesses with all these great tools and strategies. Some of them people are going to find a little bit woo-woo, but we're going to find out all about it because I truly believe the stuff that Kerry is doing is world-breaking and she's really got what she's doing is going to change the way we look at business going forward. So welcome to the show, Kerry.
Thank you, Angela. That was very kind words. I really appreciate it. And it's great to be here. I always love a good chat with you. And I could say, you know, I think you're a pretty special and amazing woman myself. And I love how our paths always continue to cross. And
well, they do, don't they?
Well, they do. We have quite an interwoven, amazing path. And I think you are doing amazing work in the world too. And helping a lot of women heal and grow in their lives and business. And I honor that as well. So thank you
very much. So tell, for many of our listeners haven't heard your story before. They probably haven't heard the other podcasts that we've had. So briefly, just tell us your story of where you came from, because if people listen, they will notice that you don't have a dinkum Aussie accent there. So tell us your story and how you got to be doing what you're doing now, which we're going to learn all about because I'm absolutely fascinated by what you're doing right now.
Okay, cool. So my story is, yes, my accent is from Chicago. I'm originally from the States. I moved over to Australia, Sydney, 13 and a half years ago. And I was, at the time, when I first came over here, actually before that, I was student teaching. My first degree is in early childhood education. And when I came over here, I came over to study massage therapy and other integrated body therapies and health and wellness. And much like, you know, you started that down that path. And when I got here, I found, after doing my study and doing massage work, I found neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP, and became a coach. And I was working with an international personal development company for many years, helping people all around the world with NLP and changing their mindset. And eventually ended up having kids. And after my second one, I was helping my husband to switch over his business from personal training, more fat loss, personal training-based work, back to his passion of massage. And we stumbled into feng shui. And it was a big game changer for me, actually, in many ways, because I'm all into, as you know, I'm all into, as you said, some pretty woo out there things and have done all sorts of energy, Reiki, crystals, if you know, you know, once you go down the gamut, like it just never ends, really. And and when I found feng shui, it was really interesting because he's actually the one who brought it into our house and started using it, and I started seeing the results, and then we ended up finding this feng shui consultant to come in and do the work with us, and she like I do, works with businesses as well, and so we had a full rebrand done with her and for his business, and the house, because he works from home, so the house and his studio was all feng shui'd and everything, and for 6 months we'd been growing that side of his business, and it was doing well and growing. But once we had the feng shui come in, I swear I was like, within weeks, he was all of a sudden fully booked. And for massage therapists, he had like 30 to 35 hours a week, which is huge. And he was like, to the point where he's like, I can't keep going. And, you know, with a waiting list. And I was like, what the heck happened? And I wasn't doing any marketing anymore. I was pulling away to do my own work. And so consequently, I just found it so fascinating that it could, that the energy in that way could work so incredibly powerfully, that the next thing I knew, I found myself going and studying with her. And she uses, as you said earlier, feng shui, numerology, colors, to all help to create an energy that flows. And I love using it in business because there's an unconscious energy that's always happening around us. I mean, it's for life and business, but what I love about business is that there's this unconscious energy that's always around us and in our message, in our brand. And so often we're out there looking to attract people into our business, but we're putting out a mixed message because what's happening unconsciously does not match with what you're putting out there on a conscious level. And so that's what I love about the energy of those types of tools to help people to align their message. And when you start to get that really clear, things flow so much easier, which is amazing. So that's how I got into all that work. And then my heart had always been drawn to, it's such a weird evolution, but my heart had always been drawn to shaman work. And before I had Robbie, my first one, who's just 7, I had signed up for my shaman training and they canceled the training. And then after 2 kids and breastfeeding and, you know, all the stuff that goes along with that, it was a residential thing, so I could never study it until I was finished with having an attachment. And so I started my shaman training, and while I was sitting on the land, because it was all sitting on, it was out just outside of Sydney, Wiseman's Ferry, and we'd sit on the land for 3 days and in circle and in these beautiful spaces and explore our own selves and wonderfulness. And I just went, wow, I would really love to bring this to business, because so often in business, and I know you can agree with me, Angela, so often in business we say, we're going to go take time out, I'm going to go sit, I'm going to take the day off, I'm going to leave all technology behind, I'm going to blah, 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 and someday never really comes.
Totally, I do get you.
You know, and it's so important that we do, but people don't schedule it out. And so one of the things that really came to me was wanting to run these retreats, like quarterly retreats for women to come and sit in a circle and really delve into ourselves as we look at our goals and what we want to do, but what's really affecting us in our lives and our beings, and take the time out to really sit and connect with our heart. Because ultimately, when we make decisions for our life and our business from our hearts, those decisions are so much more powerful and so much more, I think, able to manifest is the way to say that. So I wanted to create these experiences, but amazingly, with all of the education that I have, I was thinking, how do I bring this together? And I was like, okay, well, I need this person for this and this person for this. And yeah, I could do this, but really I didn't have the knowledge or the ability to do what I really wanted to do. And my teacher handed me this leadership and expressive arts group training, a diploma prospectus. And I was halfway through it with the goosebumps up and down my arms. And I was like, oh my God. Yes, I'm coming. And it was a really big decision. So it's been full-time study for the last year. And so, like I said, I have my 3 and my 7-year-old. And it was intense. It was an intense year. That was the first year that I was really going hard at my business and in launching my current form of my business. Otherwise, I've always been under other people's banners. And so it was a really big year to study and launch a business and have 2 young kids. And yeah, I knew it was every ounce of my being that it was the 100% the most amazingly right thing to do. And so that's how I got to where I am, because I really wanted to start bringing this work that that I think so many, I guess when I look at it, it's like there's this divide that so many people who are in the spiritual realm, the spiritual healing realm, I'll call it, are more open to like this sitting in circle and the earthy hugging trees, you know, business, and going in and doing that type of work and going to drumming circles and all the things that are happening in the healing world, but that hasn't come over to the business world. And so for me, I look at it and I get really excited about finding ways that are really practical and grounded to bring this type of really deep work into this business world where so many decisions are getting made because we think in our heads and we go and we ask a million people for the right answers, but we never really, not never, a lot of people aren't checking in with themselves. And we're going through these crazy, I mean, entrepreneurialism is insanity sometimes, right? Like the roller coaster that we go on in this work, the highs, the lows, the everything in between, there's not a lot of support for us in actually connecting and navigating that, the ride. And so what I'm looking at now and the work that I'm doing is really starting to help bring that support network in to really be able to dive deep into the work of how do we really move through this stuff and not just ignore it. Because I think, I mean, and I can imagine, and you can say yes or no, Angela, but I can imagine you can agree that when we don't delve into the work, that's when we get sick.
We totally agree.
Ourselves, that's when we get sick.
Yeah, that's where stress comes from.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's all sorts of different ways of looking at doing the work, you know, and this is just my way, I think. And the thing that I really like about this work for me is it's a lot about bringing community together. And I know, you know, I've both had conversations about how right now it's so important to bring community together because it's so many people are alone and it's a hard ride alone.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because we were having a conversation the other day. And because one of the things that I've found in my business and even, you know, just talking to people and the things that you're saying is that we've spent years learning how to do things. So, you know, you chase these bright, shiny objects, you do all this study, you do everything, but it's always someone else's success that you're chasing. And then when you don't get the same success that they had, you think that there's something wrong with you, you must be stupid, all that stuff that, you know, the self-talk that goes on, that why you can't be as successful as someone else. And that's what I was doing for many, many years, you know, the number of courses and programs and everything that I've done and the tens of thousands of dollars that I've spent learning how to market and everything. And very recently with the Entrepreneurs Playdate, when I was doing everything that was supposedly right, and it wasn't working, and I was getting more and more stressed going, why is this not working? And then I went, well, you're not having fun to start with. You're trying to sell a fun event and you're not having fun. Start doing it your way.
Yeah.
And my way was something that I had never learnt from anybody else. It's like, well, fun, balloon. So I started sending balloons out, and hopefully you've received yours in the mail by
now.
I got
one. I was looking at it this morning going, oh, I love this balloon.
But that was something, and then, you know, and I've been doing a little bit more marketing, you know, and there's a post out there on Facebook at the moment that's got a dog's nose, and it's like, guess what we're doing at this event? Because I thought, if I wanted to market something that's a fun event, I had to start having fun, and that meant doing it, going inside to get the answer, not outside.
Absolutely.
And you're right. I think that so many women have spent so many years learning, and there's nothing wrong with learning, but at some stage you have to trust that the answers actually come from inside. They don't come from outside. Everything that you learn goes in, and you find the special thing for you.
Absolutely.
And that's what you create.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I see you creating with what you've done. I mean, you've got a really great business manifestors group on Facebook, and, you know, just bringing all that stuff out. I love what you've done with all of that, and people may think that manifesting is woo-woo. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But hey, does it hurt to try?
No, absolutely not. I can't think, actually, it's one of those things I just can't think of it as woo-woo, but yeah, I suppose some people do. Suppose some people think it is, but I like, to me, that's about as little woo as possible, actually, because it's like, I think manifesting is, you're always, whether you know it or not, you're always manifesting. Always. You're always bringing into your life what you ask for.
So let's talk about manifesting a little bit, because, you know, some people will say, well, you know, I ask for this stuff and I never get it. How come you can manifest and I can't? So why is that?
Because you're always getting what you ask for.
But I asked for the Porsche in the driveway, and I asked for $1 million, and no one gave it to me.
All right, so here's the thing. First of all, I think that ultimately we can only manifest what I'll speak on a bit of a woo-woo here, what vibrationally we put out there, right? So like I was saying before, when I look at feng shui, right, and I look at someone's home on a really practical level, and I look at somebody's home, I can tell you by what pictures on the wall or where furniture is or whatever, where their blockages are and what's happening in their minds. So what we think about, we attract, right? So if we're saying that I want $1 million, but we're thinking, I don't deserve $1 million. I'm not good enough. I'd throw it away. What would I do with $1 million? It won't come, you know, because ultimately what we're thinking about is what we vibrationally ask for internally is what we attract.
Because it's not necessarily the conscious thought, is it?
No.
Because I can sit here thinking, I want $1 million, but there's a little voice somewhere that says, we haven't worked hard enough for it yet, or whatever, or you don't deserve it. What would you do with $1 million? Because consciously we might say, oh, yeah, well, I ask the universe for that every single day. But then there's the other part of it, which is the NLP side of it, is the be, do, have. If you're not being the person who has $1 million, then you're not actually living that anyway. So you can't bring it in because you're not being that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting. I think one of the things that the movie The Secret, if anyone's seen it, has brought to the table is this concept that we can manifest and that what we think about attract, we attract. But what the underlying pieces that they didn't bring to the world is how exactly what you said. We have to be that. And one of the things I know I teach within manifesting principles is that you have to act as if. And I spent a long time. I say this because it takes a while to really what I call embody that comment, to act as if, because ultimately it really means that it's like you actually imagine your entire life as if it's already here. And because your vibration is sending out there that, yes, this is already existing, it will come. But the other thing to think about is that it doesn't always come the way you think it will.
Yes, because we're very, a lot of people, and I know I am, I'm a how learner, so everything's about how. But and so everyone's always worried about the how. Well, how am I going to make $1 million? I'm only making, you know, $100 now. How am I going to make $1 million? Because we got one idea of how it could turn up, but it could turn up anyway, couldn't it? It could.
Absolutely.
If you truly believed and you started living as if you had $1 million, well, the $1 million can come in so many different ways.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's like, when I start talking to people about manifesting who've never been into manifesting before, what I always say is don't try and manifest $1 million because you won't believe that you can do it, plain and simply, right? So start manifesting something small. So manifest that I'm going to see a purple car. Manifest, and it's something that, you know, you might not have ever seen, like you don't often see, right? Manifest that one of the things for me that's a really beautiful sign for me is feathers. So whenever I walk out, like I've started looking for feathers. And before, I never saw them, ever. Like, what do you mean feathers? And my mentor used to say, Carrie, there's feathers everywhere. I'm like, no, there's not.
We live like half a minute from the beach. There's lots of feathers.
For me, but I never saw them, right? And now, every time I go somewhere, not every time, but like when I'm consciously asking for signs, there's feathers. And I'll never forget, when I had my book launch last year, I was in the middle of this cement, building. There was nothing inside. I mean, nothing nature. I wasn't in nature. And when I've come into the party, there was nothing on the floors. It was all cleaned up. And the last thing, as I was leaving, I walked, was going to check it to make sure we had everything. And I'm not kidding, in the middle of the room was this feather. And I was like, are you serious? Like, world, how did you get a feather to me here? You know? And I just think, like, when you start to ask for things, it's like you're not going to manifest $1 million if you don't see the penny sitting right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's all these little things that you can start to ask for. And it might not be money, because if you've never really consciously manifested before, then maybe asking for money is too much for you right now to believe, because you have to start to believe that it works before you will actually start to manifest more and more consciously. So you can start with things like a feather, or you could start with things like a purple car or a purple butterfly, or you just ask for a butterfly to be seen to you, and then pay attention. The most important part of manifesting is to pay attention to the signs, because if you're not paying attention, it could have come five times and
you haven't seen it.
You know, and like I said, it doesn't always come the way you think it will, but it could have come five times. You could have had five butterflies go by, and it could be that it's on a journal that you walk into a shop and you're like, oh, look at the butterfly on that journal. It doesn't have to be a butterfly that flies by in real life, you know. So it's really about being open, because then oftentimes what will happen is if we're not open to receiving the gift of the manifestation, then the world starts to think, why should I give it to you? So when you ask for $1 million, you're not getting $1 million because you didn't pay attention to the 5 cents that were sitting in front of you the last 10 years. You know, and so it's a conversation with universe, I'll call it for the purpose here, in saying, I'm asking for this, and then having the gratitude and the openness to receiving it. And then the more that you trust that process, the more that you can ask for, the bigger that you can receive. You know, like it's... I don't know. I can definitely do thousands if it's asked for, if it's needed. Like, I've had crazy wild things come to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, thank you, world. You know, so it's not impossible, but it's not. It's only because I'm open to receiving. Like, that's it, you know?
So how does all this translate into leadership, growing your business, you know, helping women to be the best possible versions of themselves? How is this all translating with what you do?
Okay, so the way that I'm looking at it now, and as you know, it's a bit of a, I'm in a bit of an exploratory phase at the moment as I bring this new work in. But the way that I think about it is leadership, what I'm discovering for people as I have the conversations around leadership is it's more about rising up, because some people think of themselves, some people might be listening to this and say, I'm not a leader, I don't want to be a leader. And that's okay. But for me, a leader is somebody who stands in their essence and teaches other people, who helps other people by leading. You know, like, we lead by example, right? Mm. So you can be a leader if you're a mother, and you can be leading your children. It doesn't mean that I have to be out there as the president of the country, you know, to be a leader. And I think that's a really important distinction here as to what the leader is. But for me, it's more about rising up, and especially in business, like, how do we take those steps to go forward when the whole thought process in our conscious mind says, heck no, that's way too freaking hard and too scary and no way, I don't want to go there, right? But our heart, when we take that time out to actually listen to our heart, when our heart says, yes, that is absolutely 100% what I want. And so how do we make that match is for me, like, this work that I'm doing. And again, it's all about the healing and the energy that goes into being able to go through those steps to rise up and to overcome the fear of the other side, of what's on the other side of, oh my God, I have that, of the unknown, that huge chasm that is the unknown, you know? And so when I look at all of the stuff that I'm doing and how does it come together now for me is ultimately as we rise up, if our energy on a personal level, on a connection to source level and with each other as we sit in group, or when we bring in the people that we would like to work with, whether it's clients or, you know, coworkers or whoever, you know, we're going to joint venture with, it's all about having that clear energy to be able to attract what we want, so that as we rise up, the stuff is already hard enough as it is, as we go forward into these unknowns, that the rest of it can be a little bit easier.
So I've got so many questions to ask. And I'm just trying to word how they come out. Because, so, I mean, it's not just, okay, you've got to do this step, this step, this step, this step. Because that's really working in your head. Mm. It's all really about, every single one of us has already got the answers, don't we? We already have the answers, whether we just don't know it most of the time. And you don't necessarily have to do things, as you said before, how is, you don't worry about the how, but if we trust ourselves deeply and we know ourselves, the answer's always in our heart, correct?
Absolutely.
So how do we stop listening to our head and start listening to our heart? How do we drop from one to the other? Because the world is very much a headspace, and I think women in particular have lost a lot of connection to their intuition. And they've kind of stepped into more masculine energy and more male roles, and that got role models. How do women come back to, because this is really our intuition, how do we get back there?
It's a beautiful question. So for me, this whole training that I did last year, diploma I did last year, that's pretty much what we explore is, for me, it's all like the way that we learned it. And like what I love about it is it's all through creative expression, because when we give ourselves, again, it's about giving yourself the space to actually have time to listen, right? And so the way that I look at it is that, and in leadership, is that I don't know personally how you're going to do it. Like you said, you're not all the mentors that walked before you, right? So it's about taking, having different, I go through different processes, and there's a different, like, what I'm actually thinking about running a webinar soon on bringing some of the shaman principles that I use still to this day. It's a map. It's called the medicine wheel, and it's a map of how we navigate the world and how I navigate business and how everything happens. And so when you start to get to know your own body and your own senses, because you travel in it, right? Because you go through this work that helps you to connect into it purposefully, then you're able to, I guess, communicate with yourself, right? Because right now, like you were saying, there's so many people who are disconnected because we only listen to our heads, but we haven't been trained because of the way we've been raised and all the things that you've just been saying, we haven't been trained to listen to our heart, and so we don't trust that process. So all of this work that I'm doing, for example, it might be one of the things on the medicine wheel that I'm talking about is there's a part of it that's all about, it's in the north, it's all about the warrior and the strength and the conviction and all those things that come up, that once we have an idea, that as you know, all the wonderful things that come is the blocks that say, heck no, you don't want to go that way. And you have to overcome all of those, you know, internet connections or financial things or partners saying you're crazy or whatever it is, right? And then we have to find the strength to overcome that. So oftentimes when we do that, we hit that point. There's a lot of people who will hit that point and it's too hard, so they fall back and they don't hit their dreams because they fall back because it gets too hard, right? Because they don't know their own inner resources, and then they start looking outwards, like we were saying, or in their head for the common sense of how to do it, but it's all within you, and it's all how we move through that or how we connect into ourselves. And you will find an inner strength that is far different than my inner strength, right? And so it's about, like, a lot of the journeys and the processes that I do are to help you find within you, where is the inner strength for me, and how can I connect into that at the times that I need it? And then when you need it, it's there for you. It's always there for you. And so the more of these resources, or the more time that we take to process things and learn what our, in shaman terms, would be the inner landscape of our life, right? Our own senses, then the easier it is to actually communicate with it and to know when someone is telling me, for example, when someone is telling me something and I go, oh, that's a really good idea. And then I can sit with it in my body and I can go, yeah, that's not for me though.
Yeah.
Do you know? Or like someone can say, that's a horrible idea. And I can go, no, I don't need to hear that either, because I know in my body that it's a great idea. And so it's about learning what the signs are for you, and whether it's in your body. I'd always say, actually, it's coming back, because that's your heart, you know. That's the space that you have. That's your energy. And again, knowing what your energy is versus the rest of the world. But it takes time to learn what that feels like, so that when you have to trust it, you know what you're trusting.
Yeah, and I totally get what you're saying, because I do something similar, but I do it with the chakras. It's like, if an idea comes to me now, I check in with my solar plexus.
Yep.
And what's my gut feel about this?
Yep.
And start to listen to my gut, and not when it's rumbling because it's hungry. Because then if something feels right in my gut, it will then move up into my heart.
Yeah.
And then obviously it moves up the rest of the chakras as well. But whereas in the past, I just used, everything was in my head and it was just so messy that you would just do anything, and you just, it's almost like you're walking around just clutching at straws, and something hits, but something else doesn't.
Mm.
But now it's like, okay, how, you know, as you say, how does that feel? I saw someone do such and such over there. well, how does that feel for me? If I did that, would I be able to do that from the right place, or am I just doing it because I'm copying someone else? And, you know, I'm not saying that people are stealing other people's ideas, but we do things because other people do it and because it looks successful, let's try that. Mm. But, you know, and if it feels right, well, then you do it and you do your version of it.
Absolutely.
And you put your, you know, essence to it, your personality to it. And, you know, and I think the hardest part, and this is following on Brené Brown, who's been here fairly recently, and the work she does, is sometimes it means you have to be vulnerable.
Absolutely. It definitely, absolutely, 100% means you have to be vulnerable.
And that's scary.
Mm,
it is really scary, you know, because when you stand up there and say, hey, look, I did something that wasn't quite right, or I did something and it was a failure, and you stand up and say that, you're basically, you know, you're voicing all your fears to come out. The thing is, I've found that I've never ever had anyone who actually said anything, you know, negative and say, wow, I'm so glad you said that because I felt exactly the same way.
Mm, absolutely.
It's because we all do feel the same way, but not many people, as you say, it's the leadership. It's about standing up and saying, hey, this is what I did. You know, this is part of rising up. It's like teaching other women how you went so that they can learn, because if you can rise up and say, look, I did that, didn't work for me, might work for you, but this is what's working for me, and be proud of what you've done, because every step, I don't see failure. I see every step is just another learning step, and you just keep going until you really hit it within your gut and your heart, and then you know. When you've got it, you know.
Absolutely. And the thing that I also was thinking as you said that is about when you exactly what you're saying, like when you get it, when you know, and it's in your heart and you really feel it, it makes it so much easier to say no to things. Mm-hmm. And I think as we rise up and we do this vulnerable stuff and all the things that comes with it, it's so important to know what our boundaries are and to be, as people would say, discerning about what we say yes to and what we say no to. And it makes it so much easier to say no so that we don't get drawn into what you were saying, like of pulling on those strings, you know, because no, that does not work for me. And in that, like I think in rising up and in being vulnerable, we have to know what our limits are. But oftentimes when we're not connected to ourselves, we don't know those limits. And that's when we get burned out, stressed, such high levels of anxiety, because you're pulled in so many different directions and you don't even know which one of them feels good.
Yeah, and you're trying to be everybody else and you're not trying to be yourself.
And you're trying to be everything to everybody.
Yeah, and obviously that's when I see women and they're burnt out, run down, and they've lost their direction. That's what I see with so many women, is when they get to that stage, you're right, they've done so many different things, they've been pulled in so many different ways, and they've lost their direction, and what gives up is their health. So, but until they can get back on track for who they truly want to be, I think it's always going to be a struggle. You know, they might do some work, you know, to feel better or take a few tablets and things like that, but it's getting connecting back into themselves and what their purpose is and what they want to achieve in the world and the difference, the legacy they want to leave the world.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I could talk for hours, but we don't have hours. But it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you today. So where, I know that you are in transition, but where can people find out a little bit more about you and what you do, and maybe in the future learn about your workshops and all this stuff that you're doing? Where's the best place for them to find you?
Well, my website, KerryNorley.com, and the place that I am definitely on Facebook at just Facebook.com/KerryNorley. My group, the Business Manifestors Club, is on Facebook, and it's my baby. It's so much fun to be in there. I'm really interactive, and it's a really great conversation all about manifesting, and we have theme days around it, and I'm there to support and hold the space for you to create your dreams through that avenue. And if whether you are an amazing manifester and want to join into the conversation, or whether you have no idea about it, and then you can just be encouraged by others. And it's, you know, it's all the small steps. And so that's all the theme days are about, what we're doing to create those small steps to be able to manifest. And it's really cool to watch a lot of people who actually have never done it before start to trust the process and start to live their dreams. So It's cool. It's free. Come and join if you
it's
want.
It's a fantastic group because I'm part of it and I've got lots of help out of it. So, so pop over there, join Kerry's group. It's a really great group. And one question before we do finish up. Who is your celebrity crush and why?
Oh, my celebrity crush right now is definitely Brené Brown. Definitely. she, you know, as I started to realize what my work was after this year of study and all this rising up stuff, and I've created this whole, like, journey of the rising up journey, and I'm working on all these different ways of mapping it out and vulnerability and all these things. I knew of her work before, but then I read her one of her books recently, and I was like, oh my God, the woman speaks my language. And then when I saw her speaking, as you said recently in Sydney, I was just goosebumps. And you know, some people would say that it's, you know, for me, it's such a blessing that she's doing this work, because it just gives me all the faith that it's like, if you're doing this work and making money from it, so can I. And there's space in this world. And not only that, there's space in the bigger world, because she does it with corporate as well. And I just, and military and all these places. And I'm like, if you can bring it, so can I. And she's only one person. And so I know that that means there's enough space in this world for all of us to do it. And
totally. And you've got your personality and the way you deliver it, your essence of it.
Absolutely. It just, but for me right now, it just gives me that the belief that I can take this work the same way that she does, but in my way, and that the world needs it. You know, the people are crying for her work and screaming about it. And I have so much gratitude for her to lead the path. So.
Yeah, because it's great that someone else has already done the hard work.
Yeah, totally.
She's opened the world to what you can deliver.
Absolutely. And then I feel like I just get to be on the ground doing the grassroots work.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to thank you for joining us, and I want to thank all of our listeners for listening in, and hopefully you enjoyed some of the stuff that Kerry was talking about, and we didn't lead you too far down the rabbit hole there. But if you've got any questions for Kerry, or you want to leave any comments, please pop over to the website www.angelacouncil.com. Leave your questions or your comments over there, and I'll pass any questions on to Kerry and get them answered for you. If you're listening to this on iTunes, if you've got an iPhone, please pop over there, leave me a rating. I like 5-star ratings, thanks. Leave me a review. Or if you've got an Android, we're also on a Stitcher Radio. So until next week, when I'm going to be back with another exciting guest to talk to you all about making money, being healthy, and having the right mindset around business, I want to thank you all for joining this. From my heart to yours, infinite love and gratitude. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Healthy, Wealthy and Wise in Business. I hope you enjoyed it. Why not pop over to my website, angelacouncil.com, and do your stress quiz to find out how stress is affecting you in your life. Looking forward to speaking to you again next week. Bye for now.